We're here on the Temple Mount called Mount Moriah. It was here that Abraham actually sacrificed his son Isaac. Here is the beginning of where the Israelites would go when they would worship. Three times a year. In front of me, the court of the Gentiles. So many artifacts, so many ancient truths lie in these stones. In these courts, there would be Pharisees and Sadducees, many people that Jesus will have confronted in his day, people that had long robes, people that had customs down. They actually had all of the scriptures down of what it was to be someone who was holy. Jesus confronts this, the outer versus the inner. You'll hear Jesus talk about it often, about the Pharisees. God even said, "My ways are higher than yours." There's something that Jesus was trying to get across, a truth about the heart. The Pharisees prided themselves in the outer, the way they dressed, the way they looked, the way they kept their hair, going to temple, keeping the Sabbath, everything that had the image of someone that was righteous, somebody that held a delight of God. It was that Jesus wanted to confront, because God was looking at something far deeper. It was the heart, the motives, the attitude, the disposition, that which caused us to do what we do. The motive behind our words, our actions. That's where Jesus wanted to drill deep to, because if he has our heart, he has everything else. We're here again on the Temple Mount. Around here, you would have Pharisees walking around. In fact, they don't even allow Bibles up here. I had to bring my iPhone by which I'll read what Jesus said. And he said this: "Beware of the teachers, those of the religious law. They like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and at the heads of the synagogue tables and banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat out widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this," he said, "they will be severely punished." It's quite an indictment on people whose hearts are one place, and they exchange it for image. They did it then. We can still do it today. Jesus spoke much about it. He spoke about the heart and the importance of it in everything that we do. Today, we're going to talk about the same thing, the heart that delights God.
Looking down out of this little round window on silver wings from 20,000 feet and lakes and streams and fields of green, I tend to think the most peculiar things: ribbons of highways, side roads and byways, people going always, always in a hurry. Gotta get there, but just up here, I'm not sure where it's all going or what it all means. Sometimes I think it's just a simple thing. I close my eyes and I realize all I really need is the love I have and the love I have to give. Anything else there is insignificant in this tiny life. Some days are better than some days. Can't see the sky, skyscrapers too high. 30-second daydream at another red light. I'm back in my hometown on roads that we rode down, with sights and sounds are yesterday's now. There's deadlines and stress lines and too much on my mind. I'm getting it all, But what's it all for? Sometimes I think it's just a simple thing. I close my eyes and I realize all I really need is the love I have, and the love I have to give. Anything else there is insignificant in this time.
The condition of our hearts. We're going to talk about that today. Talk about how it's not just emotions. Because sometimes a heart is mistaken for just emotions. When someone says your heart, is it your feelings? Is it your desires? So what is it? It's much more than that. Today we're going to talk about a heart that pleases God. And so I want you to take out your notes and let's follow along as we talk about what delights God and what makes up the heart. It's not just feelings. It may include some action. God's going to use some things in our life. Watch for a soldier, a child, and a sparrow. Let's look. Well, welcome everybody. Let's take out our notes. It is good to be back from Israel, and I got some slides. You want to see them? Yeah. Okay, there's just a few that I thought you'd like to see, and so they'll come up on the screen. Now, we had three buses, and this is just one of the buses. Behind us is the Sea of Galilee, so that's Tiberias, and it was great. In fact, let's take a look at the next slide here. We actually had a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. And it was great. A couple of people tried walking on the water, and we haven't heard from them since. But the next slide shows how we had two boats, and we tied them together in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, so you can see under the flag part of the land. So we actually had last Sunday's church on the Sea of Galilee. That's our service. Wasn't that neat? And so we sang. It was really blustering. You know, the wind was blowing like crazy. And we just started to worship like that. We started to worship on the boat. And then the sea became as calm as glass. It was really something. So it was great. And then you can take a look at the next one. We went then to the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall, the one remaining wall of the temple. And there we prayed, according to 1 Kings chapter 8. It says, when you pray towards this temple, I, the Lord, will hear the prayers of those that will pray. So that's Aaron, my son, myself, and then Pastor Fernando from A New Hope Diamond Head praying for our church, the future of our church, and also for a bill that the governor has before her that she needs a veto. So we prayed for her. But here's a cool thing. I saw my initials everywhere. Look at that on the bottom right. I didn't realize how loved I was in the Holy Land. There's my initial, WC. People were, I mean, they were going to some of the holy sites, but most of them came streaming to me. No pun intended, but I just felt so loved. And then we went to the Dead Sea where everybody took a mud bath. So that's actually the same. There's two photos hooked together. It's a before and after. No, not really. But so it's a beauty secret is mud. And then I want you to see me and Pastor Elwin right there. Oh, no, it's somebody else. Sorry. Well, that was our bus driver. He was like my bodyguard. I think he was from the, his relation to Goliath. And then the next one is the Dome of the Rock. You saw that in the previous video. That's where Isaac was about to be sacrificed by Abraham and the father of our faith there. So the people built a church over that. It's called the Dome of the Rock. And then finally, we went to Jordan River, and there we baptized 98 in the Jordan. Isn't that neat? So we had a great time. We go about every 2 years. You can start collecting aluminum cans now, preparing for the next one. And speaking of baptism, would you like to hear a really good Porygui baptismal story? Yes. Now, it has nothing to do with a sermon. Are you sure? Okay. So there was this Pake guy that just hated Porygues. And the Lord kept speaking to him about his bad heart. And he said, you need to get that right in your heart, said to the Pake guy. And Pake guy just wouldn't listen. And so he said, well, plus the Portuguese don't like us Pakes. And the Lord said, it's all right. You just need to get your heart right. Well, about 3 months later, this Pake guy dies and shows up in heaven. And the Lord looks at him and says, did you get your heart right? And did you stop hating Portuguese? He said, more than that, he said to the Lord, I actually started going to a church that had a Portuguese pastor. The Lord said, whoa. He said, more than that, the Portuguese pastor was baptizing Paques one day, and I went to be baptized. And the Lord said, whoa. And then the Paque said, by the way, come to think of it, that's the last memory I have. I told you it had nothing to do with a sermon. Okay, the message starts now, all right? But we do want to talk about the heart that delights God. And it's more than just a state of heart. It's a heart that's willing to be corrected, a correctable heart. You know, interestingly, Israel has stones that are thousands of years old, and it's taken the state of Israel billions of dollars to put back together and to preserve. Stones that haven't changed for centuries. But let me tell you one thing that the Lord says is more important than stones not changing. It's illustrated in a story where, in fact, when we were in Israel, we're lined up to go to the Western Wall to pray, and you have to go through a checkpoint. Now, an Israeli guard with a rifle is there to make sure everyone gets checked for concern of terrorism, etc. And the line, I mean, is as long as this auditorium. And this woman, this Jewish woman, came whipping by us and went straight to the guard and just started yelling at him and pointing at us. And I couldn't understand what she was saying. She was speaking in Hebrew. And then the guard said something, and she just turned around and just humph, and just walked right by us and went back to the end of the line. And so when I got up to the Israeli guard with a rifle, I said, whoa, what was that exchange about? He said, oh, you don't want to know. I said, yeah, tell me. He said, well, the lady said that she was Jewish and you guys are Gentiles. She's a chosen person and you're infidels, so you should wait and she should cut in front. I said, she's got a problem with her heart, huh? And I said, so what did you say to her? The guard said, I said to her, indeed, we are Jews, but these are our guests, and you need to be a better hostess. Get to the back of the line. I thought, ooch. You ever get your heart corrected like that? How do you respond? See, that's what we want to talk about. A heart that delights God isn't a heart that's always nice. It's a heart that's willing to be corrected when God speaks. Because We have to admit it, our hearts aren't always up and up. But God's going to correct our hearts, and sometimes he may even use a soldier with a rifle. But God wants our hearts to be right. See, in the Old Testament, it was all about the stones and getting everything together and keeping it preserved. When in actuality, if you think about it, in Matthew 24, the Lord actually prophesied and he said, not one of these stones will be left on one another. I'm not real concerned about how right the stones are, but I am very concerned about how right your hearts are. Because you'll praise me with your lips, he said in Isaiah, but your hearts are what? Far away in disarray. I want to talk to us about the heart that delights God. I think that's why he loved David so much, you know. Let's read at the top of our notes what he says about David. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. Would you underline a man after my own heart? And then underline what I would say the second half of this, a man who will do all my will. There's two parts to our hearts that I want to talk about. Sometimes it's really nice when your heart is really propelling you and you just kind of go along because your heart is just really into something. But your heart isn't always into something. So does that mean you just live half-heartedly now? No, the other half is sometimes your obedience, sheer obedience, will need to drive and propel you even when your heart is lagging behind. I want to talk to you about a heart that pleases God. Sometimes we think, well, if my heart's not into it, then I'll just live half-heartedly and I'll limp along. When actually the key to success is when you know you're supposed to do something, but your heart's not there, you do it by sheer obedience. And it corrects your heart again. That's the key to success, knowing that sometimes your heart will be leading, but sometimes obedience will be leading. That happens to all of us. Let's read this next scripture, Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Go. Listen, my son, and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Would you circle the word wise? You know what the key to wisdom is? Underline, direct your heart. You know why God says to direct your heart in the way? Because sometimes our heart needs directing. Your heart will not always direct. Your heart will sometimes need to be directed. And the heart that pleases God is in tandem. It's two parts. We want to be able to have our heart lead sometime, all the time, but sometimes we'll just have to direct our hearts. And by the way, would you write down, my heart is my responsibility. My heart is my responsibility. Because you see, that's what you're going to be and I'm going to be left with in the end, is our heart. And our heart isn't always something that propels us. Sometimes it'll just need to be obedient. And when that happens, it purifies, it gets your heart going. How do you fare when God corrects your heart? When your heart lags and God has to correct it a little bit to direct your heart, how do you do it? How you doing? You see, what God's looking for, would you write down, is pure hearts. God looks for pure hearts. Now, it's going to seem confusing, but they go hand in hand. Let's read what it says here. Go. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the... See, David didn't always have a heart that was just right on the money because he had stumbled and fumbled with Bathsheba. Do you remember? But when Nathan confronted him, did he refuse? Did he reject? No, it was correctable. How are you doing in that way? Stories told of a young boy about 7 years old. The mother and father were sitting in church with these long pews, not like chairs like we have. He was standing up and the mother would say, sit down. And pull him down. He'd stand back up. And she'd say, sit down on these pews. And he'd stand back up. Finally, she pinched him really hard and said, I said, sit
do?
And she pulled him down and held him down. And that little boy looked at his mother and said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. How do you fare when God corrects your heart? Sometimes he uses an Israeli with a rifle. Once he used a little child, the story is told. A man and his wife were arguing on his own birthday to boot. I mean, she had bought him some little present and he didn't like it. So he began to argue with his wife. You always buy me terrible presents, he said. You always do this. And then what seemed small escalated to some huge battle. And this little girl, 6 years old, didn't know what to do and seeing her parents fighting. And you see, one of the things about hearts, when they go sideways, if you don't correct it right away, it becomes deceivable and you start to believe things that aren't really true. The longer your heart goes sideways, and if obedience doesn't correct that heart, it becomes deceivable and you start believing things that are not true at all. In fact, that father started saying, you never did love me, did you? You never did want me around. And this little girl comes up to her dad with a box and a ribbon. She said, Dad, your birthday. Here's your present. He said, what? Your present? Oh, so he took it and untied the bow and had a little lid to the box. And when he opened it up, it was empty. And he went into a rage with his little girl. Said, did your mother put you up to this? Did she put you up to this? Is this some kind of a cruel joke? And she said, no, Daddy. Said, it's empty. She said, no, it's not empty. He said, look, it's empty. She said, no, I just felt that what you needed on your birthday was just a lot of love. And so before I put the lid on the box, I blew 100 kisses into the box just for you. You see, God wants our hearts corrected. The reason it's so important to have our hearts in the right place is because, would you write down at the bottom of your notes, impure motive stops God's blessings. It stops God's blessings. It's a foundational key to God's blessings. He will not bless when there's impure hearts. When there are hearts that refuse to be corrected, he will not bless. But he will when there are pure hearts. You see, a lot of times when something goes wrong in a relationship, we still want to let other people know that we're sort of doing fine, but on the inside, we live half-heartedly in our marriage, half-heartedly in our ministry. I mean, we carry on, we make it look good, but we know that our hearts are gone. And that's why the scripture says, and if you'll bump back up to the scripture right above in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he might strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. You see, here's a heart that delights God. It's a heart that's whole and complete. When it said of David, it said that David had a perfect heart. You know what that word perfect means? When you have a perfect number in math, what does that mean? Fraction? No. A perfect number is a whole number. And that's the same word in the Greek. It's teleos, which means complete or whole. And it's the same in the Hebrew, but it's a little different. You know what a perfect heart in the Old Testament, you know what the word is? It's the same word we get shalom from. It's shalem. Yeah. It's a shalem heart. A heart that is at peace. At peace. See, sometimes we live, but there's no peace. We're in a marriage, but there's no peace. And the Lord says, ooh, we're going to have to work on that heart, because without a whole heart, I can't bless your marriage. I can't bless your future. One of the foundations that releases the key to God's blessings is a whole heart, a heart that is at peace. In other words, what God is saying is whatever is stealing that peace from you, work it through. Sometimes you just need to forgive. Sometimes you just need to let something go. Yeah, but I'm right and they're wrong. Doesn't matter. Just let it go. Because the Bible says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Whose responsibility is it? Your heart? The condition of your heart? It is my responsibility. And the heart that delights God is someone who, when God speaks to your heart, whether it's with an Israeli and a rifle or a child with an empty box, that our hearts would be corrected again. See, sometimes we're standing up on the inside, even though we're sitting down on the outside. And there is a half-heartedness. So we're in our marriages, but half-heartedly. We're in our ministries, but half-heartedly. God is saying, we've got to have a whole heart, because then that's a secret to blessing. You look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, how often God will say, I want you to serve me with all your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the greatest commandment of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek for me with all your heart. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Have you seen people that do stuff with all their heart? They're contagious, aren't they? We went into Innsbruck in Austria, and we had been traveling all day, and I was just bleary and tired. And so we got into the hotel, and we're just haggard. We're just with our bags. I just want to go up to my room. Well, the tour guide, the tour director of our tour said, hey, by the way, here's a lady, and this elderly lady, she's about 70 years old, standing there, and Elizabeth was her name. Elizabeth will do a walking tour, those of you that would like to do a walking tour, because we have an hour and a half before dinner. And I thought, no way am I going to do a walking tour. I'm so tired. I said to my wife, forget it. And she said, I'm tired too. Let's just take a nap. And so he said, so those of you that want to go, can. Those of you want to stay, stay. I said, I'm group two. I'm staying. My wife said, me too. Just then, that lady jumps up and says, before you decide, I just want you to know that 5 minutes from here, you will find the oldest church in all of Europe. And not only that, it'll be the tomb of Maximilian. I'll also show you the most breathtaking view of the Alps, right out back here, and a famous golden roof with pure gold. You want to come? Check this out. And I said to my wife, I'm really tired, but she is so enthusiastic. I'm going. I did. It was a fantastic tour. And I thought, I just wanted to go because, you see, people who do stuff with all their heart, it's contagious. And I thought, I wonder if we served God like that. Wouldn't we be contagious? See, that's the heart that delights God. It's a whole heart. That's why he keeps saying, serve the Lord with how much of your heart? Half? No, with. But yet we go into our marriages with half heart. We serve half-heartedly. We do ministry half-heartedly. And the Lord says, I'll send a soldier. I'll send a child. I'll send whatever I can so that your heart will get corrected. Because you see, the thing that's most important isn't that our heart never goes sideways. It's that when God comes in to correct it, we're correctable. And we're not just sitting down on the outside, but standing up on the inside. A correctable heart is a heart that delights God. You say, but Wayne, what about the times when my heart's not there? Come on, I mean, I don't feel like it sometimes. I don't want to go to church. What do I do? Well, here is the second half of the heart that delights God. The first is, if you can lead with all your heart, fantastic. But sometimes you need to lead with all your obedience, even though your heart is lagging behind. In fact, would you write down number two, my heart can actually become purified by right actions. By right actions. You say, well, what if your heart's not into it? Then I tell my heart to get into it. There's sometimes I'm in church and I don't want to worship. I'm tired. How many of you come to church and sometimes you don't want to worship? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're lying. And I just don't want to worship, you know. But I do it anyway because I know it's the right thing to do. And so I begin to worship and my heart is saying, stop it. Stop it. I don't want to. And I just almost have to say, shut up. Just worship God. And you know, after a while, my heart changes because I'm doing what is right. There's going to be times in your marriage where or your ministry or your job, or if you're a student, just being faithful as a student, sometimes your heart's not into it, but you know it's what God has called you to do. So if your heart's not there, what do? Drop out? Do you live half-heartedly? You don't give in to that. You instead say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you begin to go by obedience, and you watch it purify your heart. You watch it start to change your heart, because it is by obedience. And that'll happen in your marriage. Remember this, commitment can be defined as this. Commitment is defined as staying true to a worthy decision, even though the emotion of having made that decision is no longer there. Staying true to a worthy decision, even though the emotion of having made that decision has passed. I stay true because it's a worthy decision. And then the heart comes back in, because the heart flags sometimes. But you then switch power to obedience, and your heart comes back. Oh, I'd love it for the heart to always be 100%, but that's not true because we're human. And then the obedience kicks in. Here's the key to success in God's blessings is knowing the kind of heart that delights God. It's both. It's both. Otherwise, half of your life, you'll have a bad attitude, because half of the time, my heart's not into certain things, but I know that I'm called to anyway. And so I switch gears and I make the adjustments. It's an adjustment, a heart that can no longer be adjusted. That's what God says. Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I remember in Palolo Valley, my brother had an old bike sitting outside, and friends of mine said, hey, let's go down. There's some girls down at this playground. Let's take our bikes and go down there. Well, all I had was my big brother's bike, and it was way too big for me, but I wanted to go because there's girls, you know? And it's like in the fifth grade, I remember. So I went out and got my brother's bike, but the seat was way too high. I couldn't even touch the pedals when I'm sitting on the seat. And so I got a wrench to adjust the seat, but it was, because it was rusted, it just swelled the steel and the metal, and it broke the screw off or the bolt off, and it was no longer adjustable. But I want it because girls, you know. So I remember going down to that thing with the seat about the middle of my back, and I'm pedaling, and I'm sitting on the bar. Now, that looked pretty dorky, but I thought that was the hardest bike to ride, because when I get up on the seat, I couldn't get to the pedals. It didn't look very good to the girls, but that's all right. But I was thinking, I wonder how our hearts are sometimes when it comes to being adjusted. Can God adjust your heart? Sometimes you'll use a guard with a rifle, or might be a little child with an empty box. So we see. But the test is this. Would you write it down? The test is, when action is requested, how will you respond? How will you respond? See, a lot of people live with half a heart. Some of you are here, and you're living with half a heart. And God is saying, I want your heart to be made whole. You say, but my heart's not into it. Then you live by obedience. And when you do, your heart gets purified. Because there's sometimes your heart will lead, but sometimes God says you need to direct your heart. It's the secret of that that'll bring God's blessings. That's the kind of heart. It's two parts. When you understand that, you start to tap in to God's best in your marriage, your life, your work, your schooling, because there's going to be days you will live by faith. Is that wrong? Absolutely right. You know, I don't feel like it, but I'm living by obedience. And soon I will feel like it. But until then, I will live by obedience. In fact, would you write in right at the end there where it says the test, would you write down, a pure heart will correct your actions, and correct actions can purify your heart. I was, as you know, we changed the name of the Bible college that we're working on in Oregon to New Hope Christian College, and everyone was fine with it, and except I got this long letter the other day, and it was just a stinging letter saying how dumb to do it like this, to name it after this one church, and you should be doing this, it should be generic, it should be this. And then he sent this letter, he copied about six or seven people, and I was just stirred in my heart. I thought, what a bozo this guy is. Who does he think he is? And I mean, he just ranted and raved and then said, I will come up there and meet with the board and talk to them. I thought, oh no, what? Who is this guy? Straight from the pit. And so I was just stirred. I was going to write him a letter. It would just take care of him. And I was talking to someone on the trip, and I said, what should I do with this? And this person gave me some great advice. He said, just choose to be kind. Do a brief, kind letter. And I thought, no way I want to be kind to this person. I will give him a piece of my mind. And he said, no, just be kind. I said, but I don't want to be kind. He said, just write it kind. So I said, okay. And so I actually pulled out my iPhone. I started to write a kind letter. Now, do you think my heart wanted to write that letter? No, but obedience did, you see. And when I finally sent it, it was a kind letter. When I sent it, I felt my heart go click, click, click. I thought, Lord, thank you. I'm so glad that there's some seasons of my life where the just shall live by faith. And when you do, your heart will follow suit. There's some seasons your heart will lead. Other times, obedience will. And God can use all kinds of things to correct your heart. The real question is, will you allow Him to correct your heart? And if you will, you'll begin to develop a heart that delights the Lord. In just a moment, I want you to see a short video. Because sometimes God will use a soldier, sometimes He'll use a child, sometimes He'll use a sparrow. But in either case, it's a heart that says, got it, Lord, got it, and is correctable. That's the kind of heart that David had. That's the kind of heart we need to have. Let's take a look.
Τι είναι αυτό?
Ένα σφουργίδι.
Τι είναι αυτό?
Μόλις τώρα στο παπατέρα, σφουργίδι είναι.
Τι είναι αυτό?
Ένα σπουργίτι είναι, πατέρα. Ένα σπουργίτι. Σπου-γι-τι!
Τι είναι αυτό?
Γιατί το κάνεις αυτό το πράγμα, μπορείς να μου πεις τόσες φορές, σου είπα. Είναι ένα σπουργίτι. Δεν το καταλαβαίνεις. Πού πας? Thank you.
Δυνατά.
Σήμερα ο μικρός μου γιος που πριν λίγες μέρες έκλεισε τα 3 καθόταν μαζί μου έξω στο πάρκο όταν ένα σπουργίτη ήρθε και κάθισε απέναντί μας. Ο γιος μου με ρώτησε 21 φορές τι ήταν αυτό. Και το απάντησα και τις 21 φορές ότι ήταν... ένα σπουργίτη. Τον αγκάλιασα τρυφερά και τις 21 φορές που μου έκανε την ίδια ερώτηση, ξανά και ξανά, χωρίς να εκνευριστώ, νιώθοντας στοργή για το αθώο μου αγοράκι.
The condition of our heart. Sometimes God may need to use a soldier with a rifle. Sometimes he'll use the innocence of a child with an empty box. And sometimes he'll use a sparrow. God will use anything he can to restore our heart's wholeness. That's his responsibility and role. He loves to do that. Our responsibility and role is to understand the divine dance. Where sometimes our hearts are passionate and full. That's easy. To love, to care, to minister. But sometimes our heart flags for one reason or another. So then what do? Live half-heartedly? No. Then by obedience. Because we know that God has called us to this. And when our actions lead with faith, our heart is purified again. That divine dance, once you catch that, it's a secret to the blessing of God. God will help us. He'll use a soldier, a child, a sparrow. Our side, understand the divine dance. When you do, God will say, that's a heart that delights me to no end. Some of you might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm in a marriage or I'm in a job or in a relationship or I'm a student, but I'm half-hearted in all of this. I'm in ministry. I'm half-hearted, though. And God wants to restore your heart. My prayer at the end will be that right now, that God will just begin to restore hearts. Jesus, if you recall, breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because he knew that without the Holy Spirit restoring our hearts, we'd go off half-heartedly. And sometimes that won't be very, you know, that'll destroy us and it won't be very contagious. So he comes in to breathe on us to restore our hearts. My prayer is that even today, wherever you're at, that God will restore your heart. How many of you would just say, I could use some restoring of my heart? Yeah, yeah. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, would you restore hearts? Breathe on us, even as you did with the disciples. You said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and restore everyone's hearts? There's some that are in marriages that need hearts restored. Jobs and relationships and ministry. Their hearts have been betrayed or hurt. But Lord, I pray that you'll restore hearts even now. Breathe on us. Oh, Spirit of the living God, restore our hearts.
Who's able to
Let's stand together as we conclude. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, if there's people here that need your touch, come, breathe on us. Restore marriages, restore relationships, restore hearts. People that have been running with a half a heart or a chunk out of their heart. Thank you for the faith that keeps us buoyed up, but thank you also for restoring our hearts. Help us to understand that divine dance, as it were, where there's times we just have to press on by faith, but at the same time, we say, breathe on me, so that we'll have, again, our souls restored. We ask your blessings on such a fantastic church. Give us a brand new season, as we are indeed a people who serve you and love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank the Lord with a clap offering? Would you?
In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope.
Have a great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out, would you?